98.5 The Wire. This is the Capitan Paul Porter and our special guest, Joy Ann Reed from MSNBC is here. Hey, welcome, Joy. I'm glad you're here.
It's great to talk to you. Congratulations on The Wire. Very exciting, Paul.
Yeah, we're going to do it old school here. We're going to play hip-hop and R&B, but we're going to give our Metro Orlando audience some information and just be a community radio station. And love I wanted to talk to you because not only are you the best at what you do, I know you have a story to tell. And everybody needs to hear stories. Tell me about how Joy Ann Reed got to where she is today. When you think of your most difficult time, how did you twist things around?
Well, wow, that's kind of a tough question because I didn't come out of college, Paul, wanting to do media or, radio or TV. I'd always loved news. I grew up watching a lot of news, being a super nerdy kid, growing up in Denver, Colorado. But I guess the turning point for my career really came when I moved from New York to South Florida in 1997. I had a young child, a little toddler, another one on the way. My husband and I moved down. And I found that I basically had to reinvent myself. I couldn't keep doing what I was doing in New York. I was working for a consulting firm, but my Spanish wasn't really good enough for me to keep doing that in South Florida. So I kind of had to start my entire career, my life over. And I kind of had to, improvise. And so I thought to myself, all right, if this is my opportunity to kind of be a new me, I'm just going to do something that I love. So I wound up taking a really, really, really low-paying job in TV, writing for the Fox affiliate in Miami for the morning show. And it was very humbling to go from having an office and, a sort of a swanky job in New York to making $7.25 an hour getting tape and writing the kickers for the morning show. But that's what I did. And I kind of worked it to my advantage, ended up at NBC on the web desk, and then when the Iraq War broke out, I was pretty anti-war, so I got out of the business of TV for a while and worked on campaigns, tried to help poor John Kerry. In all of that, what I wound up doing was writing columns and doing radio just by meeting the right people and taking chances.
Wow. Did you love radio, or was that just an option because you were tired of being a producer, or was that a passion? You never thought of it back in college or anything?
I didn't. I love talk radio. I mean, I listened to R&B radio like The Wire when I was in college. I was really more of a music radio listener, but I always loved talk radio. I grew up in Denver. We had a station, KDKO, that was a lot like your station. It was R&B, but it was also a community station, and I was always a news and information junkie, so I love any kind of information and news. And when I got to Miami, I definitely was a talk radio listener, and I had an interest in getting into talk radio, but I didn't know how to do it. I didn't really know how I would work my way into talk radio. So when I was working at WTVJ, which is the NBC affiliate in Miami, I just met a lot of people. I met one person that helped me get a column with the Miami Herald. That helped me get some traction in the community for sort of doing my opinion. And then I happened to meet a mutual friend of ours, a guy named James T., who was a radio veteran, longtime guy. And I said to him, look, I'd love to get into the talk radio game. We met, and then he happened to need a producer and took a chance, having met me, on me. And he just gave me that opportunity. So I think a lot of my story really is meeting great people like you, like James T., people who were willing to give me a shot to do things I wasn't really trained to do, but who people had confidence that I could do the job because I knew politics, I knew news, I just had to translate those skills into other things. So after radio, I then switched back to TV after the 2008 election, and all those experiences I'd had in the past, whether it was being on radio or working in campaigns, made me a good TV analyst of politics, and the rest is kind of history.
Yeah, it sure is history. What's your toughest part of being an MSNBC now? I know the travel can be hectic, but sometimes I see you, and on AM Joy, I just love the show. You nail it. I mean, do you feel challenged sometimes to hold back some of your own opinions? I know as a journalist, but sometimes I see you just ripping into folks, and it's just great to see, and I just love your passion about it. What's the toughest part of handling when you know you're dealing with, misinformation?
I mean, I think the toughest part is maintaining a sense of compassion for the person on the other side of the desk. Because even if I think they're completely wrong or I think they are just spewing talking points, I try to at least have kind of a human connection to them and understand their point of view. Having worked in politics, I know their struggle, right? I've worked with surrogates as a, you know, when I worked in politics, I was on the communication side. So we were sending surrogates out there to give our talking points, right? You know, so I know what they're doing. I know what they're being asked to do. And for Donald Trump, it's particularly challenging what they're being asked to do. They're being asked to defend a lot of things that clearly make some of them uncomfortable. And so I kind of, the hardest thing really is to just keep in mind that the person sitting across from me, they may be spewing talking points, but they have a tough job, you know, so trying to maintain that sense of compassion. It can be tough because some of these guys are pretty relentless with their talking points.
Yeah. And tell me something, how are you with Hillary Clinton after the book Fractured? I was just wondering.
Yeah, it's interesting. I went into Fracture, you know, really agnostic about the Clintons. I was an Obama person. I worked on the Obama campaign in 2008. I was definitely on the Obama side of the Hillary-Obama argument. And I kind of was ambivalent about the Clintons after 2008. You know, I think that primary left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. I'm a lifelong Democrat, but it bugged me the way that they ran their campaign in 08. I thought it was sloppy, but I also thought it was offensive. So I wrote the book really not as a huge fan of the Clintons. And then I ended up being surprised by a lot of the things I found both about Obama and about Hillary Clinton. At the end of the day, these are both politicians. They're not perfect. They have a lot of flaws. To get where they are, they do a lot of things that maybe you and I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
And I've come out of this campaign with a lot of respect for Hillary Clinton. Look, this lady completely turned around a campaign that was shambolic in 08. She's professionalized the operation. She's run it really well. And if I kind of take a step back from 30,000 feet, Hillary Clinton is an incredibly impressive person. You know, this is a young woman who's been well-known since she was a Wellesley senior. She's navigated the public world for like 50 years of her life.
Yeah, I know.
And she's been beaten down in every way that you possibly could beat a person down, every conspiracy theory, every lie that's been told about her. People think she's a murderer and a criminal. And how she withstands all that and still has some grace and dignity. And she's damn smart, right? This is a very bright woman. I think she's highly qualified to be president. So I think, you know, me, when I was writing Fracture and me where I am now in terms of Hillary Clinton, I have a lot more positive kind of holistic view of her.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, I'm glad AM Joy is just taking off. I see the stories about the ratings, so you're getting those big bonuses too.
Well, we're going to work on the bonuses, but the ratings are really phenomenal. And I got to tell you, I'm going to brag a little bit, Paul, that for the last three consecutive weekends, AM Joy has attracted over 1 million viewers every Saturday, close to 900,000 on Sundays. We're doing really, really well. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We're rating like crazy, and I really love and appreciate our viewers. Florida is one of our best markets, so I have to thank the folks there in Central Florida because Florida holds us down for real.
All right. Well, thank you, Joanne Reed, Miss MSNBC. The Wire is always your home here in Orlando. Final thought, could you share anything with some of the young folks? This is a hip-hop station about being persistent and consistent and, you know, good times turned into bad times and vice versa. Any final words from you?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody who's ever been a success has gotten there by failing. And if you look at whether it's, you know, people in hip-hop that have become incredibly successful producers, they've had to have trials and tribulations. They've gotten rejection after rejection. You know, some of the most successful artists had to sell their music out of the trunk of their cars because nobody would sign them. People thought they couldn't make it. So you have a lot of artists that you look at them now and you only see the glory. You don't know the story. Know that everybody has struggled to get where they are. We all have a meandering kind of path. But if you're really persistent and you're good at what you do and you can back up what you claim, you can get to do what you want to do. I mean, look, you wanted to own a radio station, Paul Porter. What? You doing it. So, yeah. I mean, anything that is your dream, you can achieve it.
Oh, thank you so much, Joy. And yes, this dream has taken over 4.5 years to happen. But thank you for joining us today. AM Joy with Joanne Reed on MSNBC. We'll talk to you soon, Joy.
All right. Peace to the wire. Thanks, Paul. Have a great day.